Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we cut through the noise and get straight to the insights you need.
Today, we're plunging into a world that, well, glitters with the promise of fame and fortune. The music industry.
We're talking about that ultimate dream for countless aspiring artists. The major record deal. It's the golden ticket, right?
Yeah, the one that whispers of stadium tours, chart-topping hits, and, you know, a fast track to your wildest artistic ambitions.
But what does that dream deal really look like when you peel back the layers of hype?
And what are the hidden complexities, maybe even some kind of scary craps lurking beneath the surface that artists often completely miss?
That's precisely what we're here to unpack.
Exactly. For this deep dive, we're focusing on the evolving and, frankly, sometimes quite aggressive, landscape of modern record deals.
Okay.
We're seeing new models, particularly those promising an upstream path to major labels. They can seem incredibly attractive, but, well, they carry significant risks.
So we're getting the inside scoop.
We'll be sifting through the layers of sales pitches and breaking down insights directly from a music attorney's perspective, giving you the unvarnished truth.
Okay, so our mission today is clear. We're going to illuminate how these new deals are pitched, how they're sold, how they're structured.
And reveal the often harsh reality behind the glossy promises.
Right. And most importantly, equip you, our listener, with the knowledge to navigate them successfully.
We want to ensure that you don't get swept away by the initial excitement, but instead make informed, strategic decisions that truly protect your art, your career, and, you know, your future.
Okay, let's unpack this with a scenario that probably plays out far too often.
Yeah.
Imagine you're Tony, the powerhouse lead singer of a rock band that's been grinding relentlessly.
Okay, playing the dive bars, booking the gigs.
Exactly. You've poured your soul into every lyric, every riff, playing those sweaty gigs, managing your own social media, building a loyal fan base one show at a time.
Doing it all yourself.
Then, one day, an individual, not necessarily a major label exec, maybe someone smoother slides into your DMs.
Ah, the classic DM approach.
They've checked out your music, your band is next level, your sound is undeniably the next big thing.
Flattery gets them everywhere, right?
Totally. Suddenly, they're talking about connections to Universal or other major labels. They're dangling these enticing visions, merchandising deals, promises of big tours alongside your rock heroes.
Wow.
Even dream collaborations. And the kicker, they frame it as a partnership.
A partnership, okay.
Assuring you they'll treat you super respectfully, not just as some little artist they're signing.
Mm.
For Tony and his band, after years of struggle, it sounds like everything they've ever dreamed of, doesn't it? That instant validation, the path to the big leagues.
It absolutely does. And that emotional appeal is precisely what makes these deals so seductive. These initial entities, which can range from smaller indie labels to maybe management companies acting like labels or even just distributors, they're very strategic.
Oh, so?
They position themselves as artist development hubs, offering what they call label services.
Label services?
Mm.
What does that actually mean?
Well, it isn't just about getting your music onto Spotify. It's often a pretty comprehensive package.
Mm-hmm.
Dedicated marketing campaigns, PR outreach, getting those playlist placements.
Okay.
Tour support, maybe even funding for high quality music videos. They essentially act as a mini label, providing the infrastructure and resources that an independent artist often lacks.
So they're offering to do all the heavy lifting that artists usually have to figure out for themselves.
Precisely. And the ultimate dream outcome is always dangled right there in front of you.
It is.
If you perform well, if you hit certain agreed upon metrics, say hitting a million streams a month on Spotify or generating X amount of revenue, you will be ascended or upstreamed into a major label like Universal.
Ah, the upstream.
The powerful incentive presented as this clear pathway to stardom.
Mm.
And what's also become more common are distributor deals. These are particularly attractive because while the distributor takes a chunk of your earnings for, you know, getting your music out there,
right,
they often promise that the artist retains ownership of their music through a license deal.
Ownership. That sounds good.
On the surface, yeah, that sounds significantly better than the traditional record label model where you usually surrender ownership of your masters outright.
And then, of course, there's the money. That must be intoxicating.
Oh, absolutely.
These deals often include a substantial signing bonus or advance. Our source gives the example of a $100,000 advance offered to Tony's band.
$100,000. Sounds amazing.
Imagine Tony and his bandmates sitting around looking at that figure. For independent artists who've been tirelessly building their career, maybe struggling to pay rent, eating ramen.
Yeah, pouring every spare penny into it.
That sum sounds like a massive breakthrough. It feels like vindication, like all that hard work is finally paying off. That someone finally believes in them enough to cut a check like that. That initial rush is intoxicating, right?
It's an incredible feeling, a true high point. But here's where it gets really interesting and where we need to shift from that alluring pitch to the stark realities that are often obscured by the initial excitement.
Okay, let's get into it.
The biggest misconception about that signing bonus or advance is crucial to understand. It's not free money.
Not free money? What do you mean?
Labels and distributors essentially act like a bank. They recoup, meaning they earn back all their expenses from the artist's future royalties.
All expenses.
Everything. This isn't just the advance itself. It includes marketing campaigns, PR, production fees, distribution costs, tour support, even the cost of music videos they funded.
Wow.
Think of it as a loan that has to be paid back first. Artists typically only get a percentage of royalties after every single one of those expenses has been recouped.
After.
And frankly, sometimes that after part never happens at all.
So the big check that feels like a windfall is essentially a line of credit. And if you don't understand that, you could be working for years without seeing much more income.
Exactly. It completely flips the psychology of it.
That must be tough.
It absolutely is.
Right.
And beyond just the advance, the real trap often lies in what else gets recouped and how. Things like cross-collateralization.
Cross-collateralization.
Yeah, meaning if one song or project doesn't earn back its costs, the deficit carries over and has to be paid back from your next successful release.
So one flop can drag down future successes.
Pretty much. It can hold your entire career's earnings hostage, in a way. Then you have things like sometimes inflated administration fees or marketing costs they could charge back to you.
Charged back at their rates.
Often, yeah. They're recouping money they spent on you, sometimes at their internal rates, draining your royalty stream before you even see it. It's a complex web, really designed to protect their investment.
Not necessarily designed to pay the artist quickly.
Not always, no.
That's a huge revelation for many, I'm sure. Okay, let's take that $100,000 advance for Tony's band. Five people in the band. What does that actually look like in real terms?
Well, right away, split five ways, that $100,000 becomes $20,000 per person.
20 grand each.
And this is typically a one-time payment, not an annual salary. So that big check can disappear incredibly quickly once it's split.
Before taxes, legal fees.
Exactly. Before any personal expenses, let alone ongoing living costs for what could be a multi-year period while the label recoups.
So Tony and his bandmates might have to keep their day jobs, even with this big deal.
It's entirely possible, yeah, just to survive while the recoupment happens.
So the dream of financial freedom can quickly become, well, it's just a different kind of hustle, maybe even more precarious.
Precisely. And that struggle can be compounded significantly by what often comes next, finding yourself locked into agreements for incredibly long terms.
Long terms. How long?
Far beyond what you might anticipate. Whether it's a traditional label deal or a distribution license, artists can be tied up for 10 years or maybe 5 years with a bunch of options and extensions that the label can trigger.
Options the label controls.
Usually, yes. Unilaterally. From their perspective, this is just smart business. They're making an investment. They want to secure their returns.
Right.
They lock you in up front because if you blow up 3 years later and become a massive unexpected success,
you can't renegotiate.
Exactly. You're bound by the original terms. Terms that might have been okay when you were small, but suddenly aren't favorable and fantastic and wonderful for an artist whose value has shot up.
So even if the upstream works and you get pushed to Universal, you might still be stuck with the deal terms you signed when you had way less leverage.
That's a critical detail, often overlooked in the excitement.
It feels like a bit of a bait and switch.
It absolutely can feel that way. And there's another significant risk when you do get upstream successfully.
What's that?
You move from maybe a smaller, more dedicated environment where you got personalized attention from that first label or distributor.
Yeah, they knew your name.
Right. To a huge pool of a ton of different bands within a massive corporation. Mm-hmm. The focused attention, maybe the creative control you enjoyed, that can easily disappear.
So you become a small fish in a very big pond again.
Potentially, yes. Lost in the shuffle as the major label focuses on its biggest earners. And as you just pointed out, the financial terms often follow you.
The same deal carries over.
Often, yes.
Yeah.
The same deal you signed with a teeny tiny record label or distributor often carries over because that initial entity now has a piece of your major label deal.
Ah, okay.
So despite your increased success and value, your financial terms might not actually improve significantly. You're still tied to that original agreement and all this recoupment stuff.
Wow, this paints a stark picture. It really forces us to rethink that initial intoxicating dream. So what does this all mean for you if you're chasing that dream, if you're Tony or any other aspiring artist?
It means that initial excitement needs to be balanced with a very clear-eyed, almost like forensic understanding of the business mechanics.
Okay, so if I'm Tony or any artist just starting out, what's the very first thing I should do before even thinking about those DMs and big promises?
The first and arguably most critical piece of advice is simple. Always get an attorney.
Always.
I cannot stress this enough. You need a qualified music attorney, someone who understands this business, to review and negotiate all your important contracts.
Because no one else is looking out for you.
Exactly. No one else is looking out for you.
Yeah.
Labels, distributors, even those friendly people on Instagram, they're all looking out for their own business interests, as they should.
Right.
Your attorney is the only one truly in your corner, working to get you the best deal possible, protecting your future earnings and your creative control.
So legal representation isn't a luxury. It's a non-negotiable. But I mean, for a struggling artist, the upfront cost of an attorney can feel impossible. Are there resources?
That's a very real concern, yeah. Many music attorneys offer initial consultations for free or at a reduced rate, just to see if it's a fit. There are also organizations like volunteer lawyers for the arts groups in various cities that provide pro bono or low-cost legal services to artists who qualify.
Good to know.
And even for those just starting, just getting a basic review of a simple agreement by an attorney is worth the investment. It's truly penny-wise, pound-foolish to skip it.
Makes sense.
Beyond that, artists should aggressively focus on building their own brand first.
Building the brand.
Yeah. That means consistently building themselves up, hustling, putting out great content on social media, and truly understanding their worth as a brand, whether that's you as a solo artist, a band, or maybe a producer.
When you say build your own brand, what does that practically mean today? Is it all about viral TikToks?
TikTok can be powerful, sure, but it's more multifaceted than just that. Building your brand means diversifying.
Okay.
It's about cultivating a strong presence on the platforms where your specific audience actually hangs out, YouTube, Instagram, maybe Bandcamp, wherever.
Knowing your audience.
Right. Understanding your analytics, engaging with your fans directly, creating compelling visuals, and consistently releasing high-quality music. If you're already generating buzz, attracting an audience, and, crucially, generating some revenue independently,
then you have leverage.
Significant leverage. You come to the negotiating table not just as potential, but as proven. You're an asset.
That makes perfect sense. The more you've proven you can do yourself, the better your position.
Exactly. And alongside that, learn the music business. Educate yourself.
Learn the business. Like what?
Key aspects, like sync licensing, that's getting your music placed in films, TV shows, commercials, video games. That can be a huge, often non-recoupable revenue stream, especially for indies.
Ah, sync. Okay.
Understand effective music marketing strategies. Know your intellectual property rights. Even basic accounting helps. The Source even suggests taking a DIY approach.
DIY, like be your own label.
Effectively, yeah, becoming your own record label. Learning to handle these aspects independently can be way cheaper and more empowering than relying entirely on a third party. It gives you options.
So you don't have to sign.
You don't have to swear off labels forever. But if you're self-sufficient, you have the choice. Stay independent or partner from a position of strength, dictating terms rather than just accepting them.
That's a powerful shift in mindset. Instead of waiting to be discovered, you're building your own path, understanding the whole map.
And finally, negotiate wisely. If you do decide to partner up, aim for as short as possible contract terms.
Keep the terms short. Why?
It's vital. It allows for renegotiation as your career develops. It gives you options and leverage if you do blow up.
Right. So you're not locked in for 10 years if you become huge in year three.
Exactly. You want to avoid being stuck with unfavorable terms for a decade, only to find you've built someone else's empire on your success. The more you've built your own brand and understand the business, the more you can control the terms of any partnership, ensuring it genuinely serves your long-term artistic and financial goals.
This really reinforces the core message. Self-sufficiency and knowledge are power. By understanding these mechanics and taking control of your own career, you empower yourself.
Yeah, you get the freedom to choose.
To either stay independent or partner from a position of undeniable strength, that freedom to choose to truly own your journey and to ensure your artistic vision is respected, that seems invaluable.
It really is.
So we've navigated the seductive allure of the upstream deal and pulled back the curtain on its hidden complexities. We've seen how the dream of Universal or a major label brand can be incredibly powerful, like a beacon for struggling artists.
A very bright beacon.
But we've also seen how crucial it is for artists to understand the underlying financial and contractual mechanics, the recoupment, the long-term lock-ins, the potential dilution of attention before signing on that dotted line.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it raises an important question for every artist out there. True leverage in the music industry ultimately comes not just from your talent,
right,
but from building your own strong brand, cultivating that direct relationship with your audience, and deeply understanding the business itself.
It's about creating your own gravity.
Exactly. Creating an undeniable gravitational pull around your art. That makes you an attractive partner, not just, you know, a small artist looking for a handout. That's the real game changer.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? How will you approach the intersection of your artistic passion and the business side of music, knowing what you do now?
Will you be swayed by the initial promise?
Or will you build your power and negotiate your own terms? The stage is yours, but the script, the terms, they're up to you to define.